Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers. They say it's a plan to create prosperity and enhance freedom throughout the Western Hemisphere, and that busy Americans don't need to be concerned about it. But they aren't telling us about the massive loans, bribes, and transfers of authority. They aren't telling us that their goal is to eliminate our independence by creating a new regional government. They aren't telling us that the FTAA is really part of a huge power grab. The proponents simply aren't proclaiming their true intentions. But you can learn what they are. Visit StopTheFTAA.org. Then tell Congress to reject any plan for the free trade area of the Americas. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Once again to another broadcast of American Exposé, the late show at this point in situation with what I'm doing. It is the late show at 9 p.m. Central Time. I'm on at 3 p.m. Central, which I had a phone problem today. The phones just weren't working. And 3 p.m. Central today, unable to connect to anyone out in the country here. So the phones came back on, and I came on at the 7 p.m. Central Time show, which is aired on WWCR. The 3 p.m. show is aired on it's WBCQ, courtesy of Melody Cederstrom. Those 2 hours, courtesy Melody Cederstrom, the discount gold and silver trading hours, what I call them, DGST. And certainly her phone number is very important for you at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. To make your financial situation give more integrity to what's really going on. If you're digitally connected only, your financial integrity is in jeopardy, in my opinion. And so Melody is the person that I recommend you go to, as she in turn supports me with what I do. And then at 9 o'clock, we do this Central Time on Internet and Satellite. We're expecting a call from Sam, as we had a call from Regina, which occupied most of the second hour, which would be the 7 p.m. hour. And very interesting thoughts. She was talking about House Joint Resolution 27, sponsored by Ron Paul, which I have not looked at. Shame on me. But I'm battling my own problems in my own neck of the woods with my own situation. Oh, boy. Sad situations in many respects in our country. Sam, are you there?
I am here.
Hello, Sam. We were in the midst
Good evening.
We were in the midst of a conversation, and I'm feeling your frustration. And I thought,
Yeah, Trish and I both have been pounding the message home wherever we can find about what's really at the root of the illegal invasion, of course, that we see going on all across America. And we were dismayed that a lot of the talk show hosts that are out there, you know, there's very few of us out there that's talking about the real reason behind it. And the thing I've been trying to point out, if this story were reported for what it really was, this would be a golden opportunity to unite the American public behind getting us out of the UN and getting the UN out of here.
Good thought. A thought I never occurred to me.
Yeah, because this is the one subject that just about everybody, without exception, can get their arms around, and that is the fact that the illegals coming in here, they don't want them in here, depriving us here of things in this country, and of course, not to mention the crime and everything else. I mean, of course, the politicians want them in here, you understand, because they're implementing the UN policies, but that aside, other than a few stupid mayors and people that are doing sanctuary city policies and things like that, the American public, you know, wants the problem dealt with. Well, you know, the problem is we have far too many, even in some cases in the alternative media, that is not getting to the root of the problem. They're trying to fight it on a local basis, but that's like taking a shovel or a hatchet or whatever and chopping at the tail of the snake.
Yes. That's certainly the point and the problem, and the documentation speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So what we did, yesterday I called in on a talk show, which was aired out in the Colorado area, and the person who was doing the interviews had a chief of police on from somewhere up in New Hampshire, and I can't remember now, but anyway, chief of police up there, and of course they'd had some problems with some illegals up in there as well. I mean, they're all over the place.
Yes.
And so I called in, and I told that, you know, because I figured this police chief was a little bit wet around the ears on this subject, because he was trying to give the leadership the benefit of the doubt that they're trying to do their best and all this stuff. And I told him, I told him, let's get one thing straight. I said, the leadership is involved in this country as much as anybody. And I recited the documents, and he was not aware, and he said he was going to go look it up.
Good.
Because so you just have to keep planting seeds and hope and pray to God that one of them will take root.
Well, and this is the circumstance that we have, you and a handful of others, try and make a difference, and if our numbers multiply, they will be forced to listen.
That's exactly right. I couldn't agree with you more. I'm on a different phone now, so hopefully I'm a little better. I was on
a cordless. Much better.
Oh, good.
Much more clear.
So stay this way. But so in any event, I'm just urging each and every one of you out there that are listening to us tonight, seize the opportunity to get on talk shows and bring up these executive orders and implementations of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Executive Order 13107, which Bill Clinton signed, which is the implementation of human rights treaties. And then, of course, as we know, under the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, they are considered migrants. And all you need to do is listen to a few clips from these people who are taking over the Southwest to know that they are very much more in the know of what's really going on than we are, because I don't know how many times I've heard in some of these clips of these Marxist Mexicans coming over here speaking that they said they are not illegals, they're migrants. Well, and then, of course, that outrages everybody here in America because they don't know that we were stealthily signed on to these treaties.
Yeah, excellent point. Excellent point. And so this is our problem, our dilemma. And do you think these people in Congress and in the Senate, do you think these people know this?
Oh, I think there's, I don't think every one of them perhaps knows it, but I think there's more that knows it than they're letting on. See, I think they're just, I think the governor of the state of New Mexico, Bill Richardson, he probably knows it. This guy is, he never met a Marxist policy he didn't like. And then of course, I don't know about some of these mayors, but some of these mayors, like the new mayor they just elected out in Los Angeles, who is, he's in favor of the, of this policy, these sanctuary policies, and so is the mayor of Denver. These guys are just pawns on a chessboard. I think what they're looking for, they can get good cheap labor out of it, and I think that was proven by the mayor of Denver, who runs several restaurants out there. See, the restaurants are hiring these illegals to work in the kitchen and various other places. In these restaurants, they don't have to pay them as much. So you go in there and you start attacking these policies, it's like you've attacked their the very underpinning of their restaurants, where in reality we know better. It's just that they're taking the easy way out. And of course, as we know, Chris, what is human nature? Human nature, if you can get an easier way out, you're going to take it.
Absolutely. And the point is that the communist country called Mexico is helping to implement all this. As Vincente Fox said back in 2002 when I was not on the air, and I read it, he said, "My people coming to America are not illegal aliens. They're migrants under human rights treaties. That's why the waters, they have water stations for them." And, you know, most of these immigration advocates or anti-illegal immigration advocates, they're unaware of these situations like Border 21, which is now Border 2012, apparently. They're unaware of these implementation practices unless they're on the other side, and that's the problem.
Yeah, it does make you wonder, because we have a golden opportunity, Chris, at this point. I mean, we've never had a better opportunity to rally the public around getting us out of the UN and getting the UN out of the US, and we're totally blowing it. We're totally, as a nation, we are blowing it. The talk show hosts on the supposed alternative media are blowing it by and large. It's a shame, because we could shut the door on this whole mess and really wake up a lot of people. This is the golden hour right now, while the illegal immigration issue is right on the front burner. This is the moment. Seize the moment. Get the right information out there. Once the people tie it to the UN, they will demand that we get out of the UN and the UN out of the US.
Yeah, without a doubt, that is the lightning bolt to make a difference. If we can get certain talk show hosts to understand this, I don't understand why they don't. Do you?
No, I don't either. So, you know, we're just going to keep on keeping on and sending the documents around. Trish still has them up there on her computer, so we're going to send them around to more places. You know, one thing we always try to do, in fact, the same thing on this that we did here when we had the water well issue here back in January when we were talking about the metering of water wells, I made sure I had two local people here in the area in which I live that received copies of the particular part of the UN Agenda 21 that dealt with that issue, along with web addresses in the documents where they could go back to look up other chapters. That's one thing you always do when you deal with these issues. You don't only call up and talk about them, but if the talk show host has an email address, you take those documents and you fire them out there. That way, there's no way he can possibly say, unless he's an absolute buffoon, there's no way he can say you're making it up.
That's correct. Now, on the 7 o'clock show, I had Regina called in talking about House Joint Resolution 27, which is out of the WTO, apparently. And I do a search on it, I can't find it. That's just amazing. And the LibertyCommittee.org as well. So I'm not sure what the status is on that. But with Dennis's research, with his information going on, I'm at a loss as to how people can be so asleep about how the implementation goes.
Yeah.
It's just beyond.
Well, there's a lot of people. One of the problems you got here, too, Chris, is until America ever gets to a point where various individuals are not.
Oh, yeah? Well, I lost you, Sam. Huh. Well, call back in, Sam. Let's continue this. Oh, boy, listeners, there's so much happening, and they keep playing this weapons and space program, and I think I have more information on that. And also, I was going to talk about, regardless of Dennis's superlative information, I was going to talk about the direction of the State Department and what they're doing. I'm also seeing in Guns and Ammo magazine where they talk about no walk in the park. National Park Service says leave your handguns at home. And they say it's summer and the living is easy. So why not pile everyone into a station wagon and take them to one of our nation's magnificent national parks? Our national park system sprawls across 84 million acres and is the envy of the world. But if you have a concealed carry handgun and never leave home without it, don't plan on visiting any of the 400 or so park facilities or units as they are known to bureaucratic parlance. Your gun may be legal in your home state, but it's not welcome on National Park Service land. Suddenly, you may have more to worry about than Yogi Bear swiping your picnic basket. You may have to worry about your own survival. The National Park System of the 21st century is but a pale shadow of Teddy Roosevelt's original plan. Many of the parks are now plagued by drug smuggling, methamphetamine production, marijuana cultivation, and illegal immigration. The stereotypical park rangers in their well-pressed suits and distinctive hats are now working alongside SWAT-trained colleagues who carry M16 and practice fast roping from helicopters into remote, dangerous areas. To be fair, with such a vast wilderness to police, the NPS, serious crime rate, is quite low. However, the rate might even be lower if there were more than 1,800 armed rangers available to protect visitors, employees, and valuable natural resources. And it goes on. It goes on and on and on. The point is, no firearms in the National Park Service any longer. When I was younger, certainly in the 60s, I used to go shooting in the park, in the forest where I used to live. No problems, no hassles. But as the immigration flows, as the crime increases, as a result of jobs disappearing below the border and overseas, we have these directions to confront. And a handful ruin it for everyone. And the point is, they want us completely disarmed anyway. The State Department publication 7277 from 1961 says so. And Sam, if you come back, you're certainly welcome. And we might even be off the air for all I know. But we'll move on. And I see here that Dan Wesson Arms has been sold to CZ from Czechoslovakia. Dan Wesson Arms is a firearms company. They've been sold to CZ from Czechoslovakia. CZ used to make motorcycles from Czechoslovakia, and to me they weren't anything of any great significance as far as a motorcycle. But another firearm company going foreign. So here we see Russia decries plans for weapons in space. Are you there?
I am back. I finally got in. I'm calling you, unfortunately, through voice over IP, and let me just put it to you this way. It syncs with the DSL service we've got over here, so.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
But we're back now, so if it happens again, it's just somebody hogged the bandwidth over here.
Okay, well, we're, hopefully going to address that. But where were we, Sam?
Okay, what I was mentioning, I said the biggest thing that's getting us in trouble in all this is far too many Americans out there that are too willing to go with expedience instead of principle, because expedience gets them dollars, you understand?
Right. Well,
and until America changes, that we're going to be down the tubes. We have far too many people involved in various forms of treason, even in private business in this country, unfortunately.
Well, some of them are paid to be treasonous. Some of them are treasonous because they want the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, which could very well be nothing more than a pension, a high pension.
Yeah.
But yet they're continuing to, you know, each individual is thinking for his own individual self, and he's thinking, well, if I get involved and I do it this way, which may be unconstitutional, may be treasonous to our country, but who's going to know about it? And you multiply that person by 10, 20, 30, and you know, it just gives the other person the comfort that the other person's doing it, so why not? Why not continue to be treasonous?
And well, the sad part of it is, too, Chris, is that we have this lie that's being fomented out there stating that, well, these are just simply jobs that Americans won't do. Well, when I was growing up, and I'm sure you remember this when you were growing up, we had what was called summer jobs for kids when they were out of school.
Yes.
And how quickly we forget.
Yes, yes. And you know... Now, what are they doing now? They're sitting inside in the summertime playing computer games.
Yeah.
Where when we were growing up, there were other things to do. And that is the situation we have today. The technology has brought us into playing computer games, and nobody does sports like they used to at a young age.
Then we have far too many cities, Chris, that will... if they dare catch a kid outside on the street running a little lemonade stand, they will harass the parents to up the wazoo to get a business permit. So,
you know,
this
that's
is
happening?
The. Yeah, I've heard several stories in which this has happened. This is stupidity on steroids, and you know, it's you know, like I say, if America gets any more stupid, I don't know what's going to happen, but. I mean, we're getting to be such a stupid nation that they almost, you know, that I don't know. You know, I'll tell you, sometimes I think dogs have more sense than we've got in this country today, by and large, with the exception of a few of us that know what's going on.
Well, I'm afraid you're right, and I'm very sad to say it. Sam, I've been sad all my life because of the way things have turned, and certainly you know that. Vietnam and Korea are perfect examples, setups.
Yeah.
You think about the Second World War, and certainly when I was younger, very young, I was a student of the Second World War. And you think about D-Day, United Nations operation declared by Eisenhower and Roosevelt. The whole Second World War was a UN operation, and we've talked about that, chronicled it, but here we are in 2005, we're still able to try and educate, and that is our goal, is to educate others. Now, the point you make is that if everybody realized, and certainly I've been echoing these sentiments, that it's the UN system that's allowing the immigration or the migration, that is going to make a big difference. Now, why these other people that are immigration advocates or illegal immigration advocates aren't on the right page makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed. You know, particularly when you call three and four times on some shows and they still, you tell them what's going on, and then after you hang up the phone, they act like they're so bewildered and they just can't figure it out. And, of course, my answer to it is, well, hell, I just told you.
Listen, do you think Frosty Wildridge would come on my show?
Don't know. Hard to say.
I wonder if we can make that happen. He certainly knows of me because people have called in and asked him.
Yeah.
So he certainly knows of me and what I do. But that would be the key, is to get him on. Glenn Spencer wouldn't come on my show, you know. He was Citizens Patrol.
Well, he's another one that won't get to the root cause, Chris.
Right. All they want to do is seem like fester the situation with the immigration problem to have two sides fighting against each other. And certainly those south of the border of us, are many of them are being trained to implement chaos.
Oh, yeah, agent provocateurs. I mean, it's as old as the hills. You want to foment a problem, just put a few provocateurs into the mix, and you've got
right.
a problem.
Absolutely. Well, let's see if we can get Frosty on, and we'll do the best we can. And certainly you're doing a tremendous job in your neck of the woods. Dennis is doing a tremendous job, Darren. The key is to make it work.
Well, I'll tell you, and the leaders are up to their eyeballs. And the other thing I pointed out, too, is that the former governor of Colorado, and his name escapes me right now. I've got the article sitting on the hard drive here, How to Destroy America. And in the article, he says, if you believe America is too smug and too proud, then let's destroy America. And he's talking about, you know, using the illegals to do it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's been done in other countries. They flood it with immigration.
Oh, yeah.
You know, have people not being able to communicate with each other. It's all very, very obvious to me.
Well, and you look over in Europe right now, the same thing, and this proves our point about the treaty, Chris. The same thing is going on in the various countries over in Europe. They're having an illegal immigration problem over there, too. See, it's being done on a grandiose scale across the globe. Just mixing up the cultures so that the cultures can't communicate.
Yeah. It's not just to us. It's not just our thing. It's everywhere, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And the whole thing, see, if you can just turn the whole earth into a big melting pot, somehow they have this screwy butt idea that it's going to be one giant utopia. Well, what it's going to be is one great big giant war zone and then what we're going to wind up with is all countries becoming balkanized and constant warring factions, kind of like what you see over in Kosovo and Yugoslavia and places like that.
Yeah. They want it here too, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. And what I think they're hoping for is if they can make things bad enough and the consequences dire enough, I think Henry Kissinger said it best in the early 90s that if UN troops were on the streets of Los Angeles today, people would be outraged. But if they were here because of a threat perceived or real, then they would cry out for their new world order. And I'm paraphrasing parts of it, but I used to have the quote on my drive, but it was Henry Kissinger that made the statement. And so these guys know what's going on. America's always been the giant thorn in the side of anybody who wants to bring in Marxism, so they have to get America out of the way in order to achieve their Marxist goals on a global, grandiose scale.
Yeah, I think he said something like, today Americans will be outraged to see UN troops on the streets of L.A. Tomorrow they'll be grateful.
That's right.
That's what Henry said.
Yeah.
I just linked to Trish's great find, your better half of your family, Trish.
Yep.
The World Toilet Organization. And what did we see? Gracious Living for a Model City is the theme of the first World Toilet Expo and Toilet Forum, which was held in Shanghai, China, last May 8th.
It's month 28th.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
May 8th through the 10th of this year in Shanghai, China, I'm sure. So we have the World Toilet Organization, part of Agenda 21, and World Toilet Summit 2005 is just something to behold for people that don't understand where you're going to have a World Toilet Organization. I just can't, and I said it a long time ago, that they'll tell you how you're going to go to the bathroom and that takes it all the way to every facet of what you do.
That's exactly right, Chris. And it's going to wind up being compost toilets, I think, if they have their way.
Well, the Forest Service is already implementing that, composting toilets. And, you know, with all the documentation that has been put on the website, my website, and your website, there's nothing left for questioning. It's all here.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed at all that's being driven on the website because of Dennis and Darren and your information and the Anti-Communitarian League and the Moscow connection with the Ford Foundation. My goodness gracious, Sam. Every day, new things.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Isn't a government where only the police and military are armed a police state? The only way that can happen is gun control through the ruse of for the children. But in police states, children are murdered because parents can't shoot back. If gun control is for the children, how much did it benefit the Jewish and Gypsy children of World War II Germany? Think it can't happen here? Think again. Hitler was democratically elected. Brought to you by Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, jpfo.org.
And welcome back to the broadcast. We got broke off by the commercial, Sam. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Well, it's certainly... there's no end to the information. There's no end to the opportunities to get the information out. If the other side, and I don't consider them the other side, just the other talk show hosts, other guests that you call into would listen and pay attention, we can make a big difference with this immigration and the UN system.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now is our golden hour, if we will take it, but there's far too few of us that are taking it. It never ceases to amaze me about how well we're blowing this, by and large, as far as most of the alternative talk radio circuit is concerned, because it's like I pointed out on some of the shows I've called into. I said, Bush is not just standing by and allowing this to happen by osmosis. I said, the guy's a puppet. He's following orators, don't you understand?
Yeah, amen. There it is. Plain and simple. And on the website, another in the Agenda 21 section is negative population growth. And according to Jacques Cousteau, population growth is the primary source of environmental damage. We're the bad guys. It's just beyond me how we can... except what we're being told all the time, because it's coming from the television set. or...
What's even worse, Chris, is I just heard the other day, and I'm trying to follow it up, see if I can get some documentation on it, that apparently we are now having outbreaks of leprosy in places like New York and various other places because of this illegal problem.
Mm-hmm. Among other things, tuberculosis.
Yeah.
So negative population growth is talking about, you know, crowded schools, traffic congestion. But here you got the Hegelian dialectic implementing these directions, don't we?
Oh, yeah, and they put fancy names behind controlling people through the congestion. They call it traffic calming.
Yeah. So they say the U.S. is struggling with the effects of overpopulation, yet our population growth shows no sign of stopping. Well, we know why that is. Overpopulation, I lost the last point. It went away. But then they want you to donate online to help fight our out-of-control population growth. And this is the negative population growth. They want people to donate to them. And I'm sure people do. But they don't realize they just don't realize it's an NGO of the UN system. Or maybe they do. Who knows?
Well, and the question I always say is these half of these people aren't thinking that they may be part of the population controlled.
Good point. Yeah. Very good point, Sam. Well, I appreciate your thoughts.
That's okay. And my advice to anybody, if you ever get engaged in a conversation with somebody on this issue and they talk about how we need to control the population... First of all, it's the illegals that are causing the swelling of the population in this country. But the second thing you ought to ask a person when they start going down this road is, okay, can we start with you then? Can we schedule your appointment to go down and get your lethal injection?
There you go.
That'll get them thinking.
It will. Well done, my friend.
With that, Chris, absolutely. Glad I was able to contribute tonight, whatever I could to help out, and let's hope we can get some other people on board. You need to call the talk shows, ladies and gentlemen. Get involved in the talk shows and do the same thing. Plant the seed wherever you can find a place.
Absolutely. Thank you, my friend.
You bet. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Sam and Trish listeners, they are the Information Corner on the website, AmericanExplosé.com. That is their website, the Information Corner. And they see better than most that can see. The 59th United Nations General Assembly, U.S. Principal Objectives. And I started this on the second hour, the 7 o'clock hour, 7 p.m. Central Time, on First Amendment Radio and WWCR. 9.985 is the frequency now, 9.985, 7 p.m., Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. They're addressing... the U.S. principal objectives, and they're talking about combating trafficking in persons, and they seek to build on the three P's, combating trafficking in persons, prevention of trafficking through such efforts as publicly as the threat and member states' commitment to fight it, protection of victims and such rescue and rehabilitation, prosecution of perpetrators. That's one of their directions, advancing economic freedom. Now listen to this. The Monterey Caucus, or Consensus, that's the Monterey Consensus in 2002, articulated a balanced, coherent view of economic development, starting with the premise that each country has primary responsibility for its own economic and social development. The Monterey Consensus went on to emphasize the importance of good governance, the rule of law, sound policies, and private resource flows, including domestic resources and international trade and investment, as well as donor assistance. Unfortunately, Monterey's insight concerning each country's responsibility is too often eclipsed by debates about reforming the international system. Here they go. Although the international system is important and recognized as such in the Monterey Consensus, United Nations debates need to give more attention to what countries can do domestically to promote economic growth. Now, what is that meaning? Well, there's probably infighting at the UN system. Always has been. But the State Department implements the U.S. mission to the United Nations. That's my point tonight, is the State Department has Sustainable Development Partnerships, a website from the State Department, implementing Agenda 21. This is the point in the problem. So this goes on concerning advancing economic freedom from the State Department. They say many developing countries have succeeded in advancing economic prosperity by allowing entrepreneurship and private investment within the framework. In other words, within their control of how you're going to be a private investor and an entrepreneur. They're going to control what you can and can't do. And once again, many developing countries have succeeded in advancing economic prosperity by allowing entrepreneurship and private investment within the framework of competitive markets and the rule of law. What's the rule of law? The UN rule of law, listeners. Unfortunately, their experiences are infrequently reflected in UN discussions of economic development. Then they go on to state that the United Nations Secretary General's Commission on Private Sector and Development recently released its report that underscores the need to mobilize domestic resources in the private sector for development. The Commission believes that the primary responsibility for achieving growth and equitable development lies with developing countries. And that's why we're being told to give to the poor in developing countries. That's why Bill Clinton is in charge of tsunami relief, to control the money and what it's going to be used for. And what is it going to be used for? Moving populations to sustainable communities, building sustainable communities in the framework of the Agenda 21 document. That's what's being driven and directed here. So we believe that resolutions on economic issues, they say, particularly those that concern poverty eradication, must highlight the following elements: good governance and the rule of law, elimination of corruption, clear delineation of property rights. What does that mean? Clear delineation of property rights. Clear delineation of property rights. Does that mean you can own property? The competitive, well-functioning markets, attractive investment climate, that's the global economy. Regulatory policies that build market confidence, mainstreaming private sector initiatives throughout the United Nations system. So they're moving along these structures that aren't in America called the United Nations system. They're called other things. And they say these domestic policy measures have been neglected in recent United Nations discussions and resolutions. We would be interested in your views, they say. And should we give them our views? I would think so. Then they want to promote democracy, listeners. That's one of the goals here. From the State Department, the United States remains committed to increasing cooperation among democratic countries with similar commitments to human rights and the rule of law. What does that mean, people? Democracy is the code word for communism. We have 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto being implemented in America today. Russia is democratizing, so we can be comfortably merged. So it says through formation of an informal network such as the Democracy Caucus in the United Nations Fora, we believe that we can advance such cooperating among like-minded nations. Establishment of a Democracy Caucus is a direct follow-up of the commitment made by foreign ministers and other senior officials at the November 2 Seoul ministerial, and reaffirmed that by convening group foreign ministers during the September 2003 meeting of the Community of Democracies, convening group of the 58th United Nations Assembly. There's lots here, people. And then they want to ban human cloning. Banning human cloning. Absolutely ridiculous to think that they're going to side with us about this. But it was reflected to me, and I felt the same thing, and I knew the same thing, but someone reflected to me the fact that those in the high positions are going to have access to the proper vitamins and minerals, the proper good foods and nutrients, but through the regulation of by Codex Alimentarius, the common man, which is actually going to be no more middle class, we're going to have to pay exorbitant prices to get vitamins and minerals in the future. Now, some are saying that's not going to happen. Well, you just wait. You know, someday it'll happen and nobody will be able to do anything about it because of the control factor in place. And certainly that is my major concern, listeners. The United States mission to the United Nations is in the Agenda 21 section, It's very, very important that you spend time there. Most important, it's on our site, and we probably ought to bring it to the front. There's just so much, listeners, so much. And that is my point about all of this, is the documentation is, there's so much documentation today to connect the dots, and it's on the websites, many websites, and I'm certainly partial to my website, as I don't take claim for creating it, but four people were involved in it, and I'm so happy that that's the case. Now, here we see that GM plans to cut 25,000 jobs by 2008. Certainly the GM plant out here in Oklahoma will be shut down. They're fighting. They're having problems. As a matter of fact, they were going to shut down a whole shift. They're going to lay off an entire shift in the middle of this month, June. But being the fact that they're going to have to continue to pay them, even after they were laid off, they decided to have them keep their jobs. And they'll probably just slow down production more. But apparently, according to this information from the AP, General Motors plans to close plants and eliminate 20,000 manufacturing jobs in the United States by 2008. In the meantime, what's happening? Manufacturing in China of General Motors products. When it's reached this crescendo where the car manufacturers are going foreign, as the gun manufacturers are going foreign, as I just expressed to you from Dan Wesson, has sold to CZ from Czechoslovakia, and I wonder who owns that company now. Who owns CZ today? So, apparently, the United Auto Workers Union responded to GM's ability to make the cuts will depend on the worker attrition rates and its contract negotiations with the union. GM's UAW contract expires in 2007. So, understanding this, GM posted a $1.1 billion loss in the first quarter, and its U.S. market share has fallen 25.4% from 27% a year ago. Its customers increasingly are choosing models from Toyota Motor Company, Nissan Motor Company, and other Asian automakers, and certainly you can't leave Honda out of the mix. And then China's getting in the game. China's going to be part of this. Now, you know, the information that is on my website now is for you to research. Dennis has done it. Dennis has done tremendous work here. And just because I don't cover it on my show, and a lot of times I don't cover it because it's there for you to read. But he even has the who's who on the General Motors Corporation board. And you could probably see that many of these people are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, maybe. I'm not sure. The Future of the Car in Popular Science magazine, oh, that's going to be interesting. Understanding where we are is very easy when you spend time, and turn off the television, spend time on the website, AmericanExpose.com. There's information here about the European Union. And like I say before, the euro isn't as a dollar. The euro isn't in place. The euro is being implemented. What did Rothschild say way back when, back in 18-something? Give me a control of the nation's currency, and I care not who make its laws. Well, there we have it, listeners. And that is the tremendous problem that we're dealing with. The implementation of 13 years of Agenda 21, well underway. And here we see from Nancy Levant from Scott Valley, California, agriculture has always been a risky business, she says, but increased regulations from the state government may make farming impossible in major areas of Siskiyou County, California. Most of these regulations have been pushed and demanded by lawsuits from green environmental advocates, and the state agencies have bowed. The nonprofit organizations of Sierra Club, Cal Trout, Klamath Forest Alliance, Pacific Federation of Coastal Fishermen and others browbeat the California Fish and Game Commission into listing the coho salmon with the State Endangered Species Act, the ESA. So Nancy Levant attended the California Fish and Game Commission meetings and saw firsthand the politics played at the expense of using current information or data. It is not about the coho, but how to regulate water. For instance, in the end of the day-long discussion on listing the coho salmon in August 2002, the commission was hesitant to vote. Then a lawyer from the Sierra Club stood up and threatened the commission with a lawsuit if the commissioners did not vote his way. President Michael Flores called a recess and cell phones flew open. Groups of advocates met with individual commissioners, and when the commission meeting resumed, the vote was 4-1 to list the coho salmon. Flores was the only no vote, and he paid for it in the next few months as accusations against Democrat Flores were thrown by the heavyweights of the enviro community. Through the efforts of Timber, Farm Bureau, California Cattlemen's Association, Save Our Shasta and Scott Valleys, and Towns Coalition, Siskiyou County, and other entities, the once only used recovery strategy plan code was invoked by the commission. This slowed the actual listing process because it took more than a year to develop a recovery strategy plan, one for the state and one for Siskiyou County. Unfortunately, the state plan overruled the county plan and placed increased regulations on agriculture and timber practices. Presently, the timber industry has stated the increased regulations will cost more than $38 million. Tom Nelson from Sierra Pacific Industries told those at the May 9, 2005 SOSS meeting that timber cannot live with these strangling regulations and is considering a lawsuit. In February 2004, after a morning of testimony by timber, agriculture, and even construction unions against the state recovery strategy plan, the commission still voted to accept the state committee's recovery strategy plan. In June of 2004, the commission voted to stall the listing. At that time, state legislators, mostly from San Francisco, threatened individual commissioners, like the newly governor-appointed Republican Marilyn Henderson. Notice all the females being employed into these government bureaucratic positions, part of Agenda 21 listeners, if they didn't vote to list the coho. In other words, at that time, state legislators, mostly from San Francisco, threatened individual commissioners, like the newly governor-appointed Republican Marilyn Henderson, if they didn't vote to list the coho. Henderson had 1 year to be ratified by the state legislature, which is still led by a majority of Democrats. The very real threat was that she wouldn't be ratified by the legislature. In a surprise last-minute agenda added item for the August 2004 commission meeting, the commission voted to finalize the listing of the coho salmon. The vote by the commission, which now had an additional Republican on the board, was 4 yes votes, with Flores abstaining. Back in 2002, Flores had been brought up by the SOSS to view the cutting-edge projects by irrigators to enhance and improve coho habitat. He was convinced to the sincerity of the landowners to aid fish. After all, farmers and ranchers like to go fishing too, and this is the point. We aren't damaging to the environment. When we own property, we try to nurture the environment. It's all about the taking away of your property rights is what this is all about. All these different avenues and assets and facets of Agenda 21 are being implemented right now. This is why we keep talking about it. This is why Sam and Trish are so upset about the immigration and the fact that it comes from the UN system and that people aren't paying attention that should pay attention. It's just remarkable. And this environmental movement, the backdoor direction to enslave America and the world, Agenda 21, is well underway. It wasn't passed by Congress, so what did Clinton do? Bill Clinton implemented an executive order to create the President's Council on Sustainable Development. I think it's dead now, the PCSD. I don't think it's working now. But why do they need it to work? They're implementing it with every government agency because of an executive order some years later in 1998, implementation of human rights treaties. And other treaties have been, or other executive orders have been implemented to implement Agenda 21. Besides the fact that non-governmental organizations are implementing Agenda 21, the NAFTA corridors are going to be built by non-governmental organization money, and they're going to be toll roads. It's going to be 4 miles wide. I've read it in the paper, and I've read it on the paper on the air about this. Where does it come from? It starts in Austin, Texas, listeners. Does that ring a bell? Austin, Texas? So this goes on to state that politics from environmental advocates saw that they won the coho battle of what the lead Fish and Game Department attorney, Michael Valentine, once referred to under his breath as coho hell. Valentine is no longer with the Department of Fish and Game. Coho hell may have worn him out as much as it has others in the coho battle. And see, that's how they do it. They wear us out when it comes to trying to implement directions and people object. They go away after people object, but they come back. See, I witnessed this in the desert, in the California desert. I witnessed it firsthand. I saw how they were closing down the land. The Bureau of Land Management was there, telling us where we could, where we could and couldn't go with our motorcycles. Henceforth, they kept us on certain areas that became rougher and rougher and more used and more used. And it made us look bad because all this expanse of land was closed down. So they took it to the local governments. They were going to implement closing of the land, and the people became very, very upset that enjoyed off-road riding and racing. They had their demonstrations. They put the pressure on the local communities, the local governments, and it was stopped. Well, 1 or 2 years later, it was implemented by the federal level, a la Dianne Feinstein in California. Dianne Feinstein, a career politician. See, that's the point about the whole thing. We need to stop electing career politicians. We need common people running government. We need common people representative of the people of this government, or the people of this country running our government. It's been bandied about that all the presidents are offspring of the royal house. Could very well be true. Al Gore, supposedly related to some people from the past. And here I see right in the paper, dated Monday, April 18th, Al Gore's cable network gets name and launch date. A cable and satellite network headed by former Vice President Al Gore, which promises to give viewers a stake in the content it airs, will launch this summer. Well, I doubt that seriously, because it's going to be all communistic in design. Al Gore is a brainwash advocate. Al Gore is a turncoat for our country. Al Gore is a devout communist. He might call himself a communitarian today, because that's what we have in America, the communitarian network. Well, I hope I covered enough bases for you to get enthusiastic about going to the website, reading the information that Dennis has put up there.